May I speak in the name of a living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Well, we've had Christmas, and our theme this morning is The Darkness Returns. That's so corny, isn't it? It sounds like another one of the Star Wars films. The Darkness Returns. My youngest daughter is very heavily into Star Wars. She's a generation too late for it, but it's all back again. I sometimes think she thinks she's R2-D2, but never mind. I'll pay for that later. But here we are, Christmas time, and we have lit candles all over this church. We've lit candles out on Greengate Lane. And it always hits me, just after Christmas, you get this sort of, there's been the high of Christmas, you get that sort of slight slump feeling, just after Christmas, you know, when you're doing the washing up, yes? Like when I'm doing the washing up. I shall repeat that so my wife hears, when I'm doing the washing up. And so, I don't know if you often get that feeling, but there's often the sense I have is, why is it that so many people have come to carol services, they've gone to events, schools, they've sung O Come All Ye Faithful, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, The First Noel, etc. And we celebrate the light. And yet almost immediately, for so many people, the light just fades away. It's almost of no significance. It's as if Christmas is just an annual event. It happens, and that's it. And one of the tragedies of Christmas for so many people is it is just that, a season, a winter festival. You come along, you light your candles, and then you blow them out. And 12 days later, you pack Jesus along with all the other decorations into a box and shove him up into a loft. And you forget about him for another year. And that theme of light and darkness, which we have been very much focusing on, I think, to be honest, as the bishop said the other evening, almost for a whole year, that has really struck me, because it's not just here, but actually across the country and actually across the globe, the issues of light and darkness have become more and more clear. One of the things I do over Christmas, I go on the Church of England website, and one of the buttons you can press there is to get all the snippets from the papers over the last 24 hours. And I've read lots of material from the different papers about Christmas and church and Christianity. And what struck me is how many negative and sarcastic and cutting articles there have been about Christianity. There have been one or two exceptions. And let's be honest also, Maureen's interviews in so many papers and magazines have been a wonderful witness to the light, exactly the opposite where so many other people have been. But there's been so much negativity out there, so much criticism, and actually increasingly we are seen as being, you know, a rather dodgy crowd. I mean, I've been around long enough to remember the time when I was newly ordained a long, long time ago, people would almost apologise to me for not going to church. Now it's almost the opposite way around, in which people might have to apologise because they do go to church. And increasingly, we are seen as being a dangerous place or a dangerous people. A friend of mine is a vicar of a very large church down south, you know, 1,000 people, a big church. And his church youth group were having a house party a weekend away. And they invited some of their mates and their friends who didn't go to church to come with them. Anyway, some of the parents of these non-going teenagers got together and had a meeting. And they wrote a corporate letter to the vicar, which says something like this: Dear Vicar, I'm sorry, we will not allow our children to go on your house party because we do not believe going to church is a positive thing. In fact, we think it is a negative experience for children today. That's how some people are seeing us now. Okay, put our hands up. The churches have made some big mistakes, and I don't need to name them. I mean, just some very bad cases, and sometimes people doing some covering up. A little bit of that we do deserve. But increasingly, there's a whole sort of view out there, the new atheists, who regard us as a virus. And if we say, you know, we want to be involved in children's work, many of them are saying, whoa, that's dangerous. We want to protect our children from Christians. That's how far our country has now got to. And in that sense, we who celebrate the light at Christmas know that the world out there is increasingly dark. in their attitudes to us. Increasingly, they regard us as a negative, almost a virus in society. And that is why when we try, it's so important that when we did what we did on Christmas Eve night, and we get out there and we put the lights out there, the darkness around us was very, very dark. And increasingly in our country, it will be. There are many people who want to exclude us from country life, from the life of the country. There are those who do not want to hear what we want to say about issues. We are humiliated in public. People want to have a go at us. They have a dig at us. And that's happening more and more and more. And perhaps as this country becomes less and less Christian, we should recognize that is going to happen perhaps more and more in the future. Perhaps in 10 years' time, Church of England will be disestablished. I don't know. Who knows? Increasingly, we will be seen to be a negative influence in society. And being a Christian will be tough. Do we get persecuted? Probably not. But George Carey has pointed out in so many different ways that other faiths get special treatment. But Christians are seen as being, well, you can have a knock at them. You can do whatever you like. You can have a, you know, you can take the mickey out of Christians, but you can't touch other religions. Increasingly, that is seen to be the case. And so in our society, in terms of the Christian faith, it's seen increasingly to be dark. And the light of Christ isn't just for Christmas. It's for the whole year. But it's not just in this country. It's happening across the world. And at long last, the media seem to be picking up. There has been, since the Arab Spring began, what some are now calling a Christian winter. The persecution, the clear-cut, absolute persecution of Christians has been happening in so many countries in the Middle East. If you go a bit further into the newspapers, you can find the stories. There have been murders. There have been accusations of blasphemy. Whole communities have been effectively forced out of their countries. You know, we go to church as a matter of choice. To be honest, it's almost like a leisure activity. You can either go to church or you can choose to stay in bed and do something else. There are Christians in the Middle East who go to church with a possibility they may never get home again. Explosions and shootings are happening across the whole of the Middle East, spreading further, and it's also true for Christians in Afghanistan and in Iraq and in Iran and Pakistan. It's increasingly dangerous to be a Christian in those countries because the darkness is not like the light. And so we are finding that more and more for Christianity, we are not being seen as a positive, we're being seen as a negative. Now, in a sense, actually, it was ever so. You know, I can't help thinking that the situation we're in today is not so very different from where it was 2,000 years ago. We had the story today just after the coming of the Magi, the Epiphany story. We'll be focusing on that next Sunday morning, the sort of the journey of faith model. But today I want to pick up on that theme. The Magi left, and they don't go back to Herod. They make their own journey back. Have you thought about how many people saw that star 2,000 years ago? Because that star, we know, was seen across the whole of the Middle East. It eventually came over Bethlehem, so it was seen there. The shepherds probably didn't see the star because that was a bit earlier, but they certainly saw the angels, and it talks about it shone with the glory of God. So there was light there. But in the Middle East, so many people saw that light. And most of them said, yeah, nice star. Shrug of the shoulders. So what? Perhaps some were a bit fearful, thought it was some sort of calamity was about to happen. But how many people, put it bluntly, got off their backside and did something about it? Three, perhaps, and an entourage. That's just about it, really. Out of all the people who saw the star, most actually couldn't care less. Water off a duck's back. It meant nothing to them, no significance. Except three, well, seemingly probably three magi, maybe a long distance, maybe hundreds of miles away. For them, they knew that something special lay in this, and they were willing to undertake a dangerous and a grueling and a hard journey to find out that light. And of course, when they go back up, they find that light. They go to Bethlehem, they see the child, and their hearts are full of joy, and they go back to the Middle East. We don't hear anything more of them. Although we do know that in later centuries, the church spread eastwards. We don't find it in the Bible because we tend to have the story going westward into the Mediterranean. Christianity spread very rapidly across Syria, Iran, Iraq, Afghanistan, even into North China in the first two centuries. Perhaps the Magi prepared the way for that when they told people the story of the baby they had seen in Bethlehem. We'll never know. We can't prove that or disprove that. But most folk probably thought, well, you know, they'd just been off there, had a bit of a holiday, and all this talk about a baby and stars and light, most folk probably dismissed it. And even the shepherds, well, they told other people what they'd seen and saw, but I guess a lot of people say, well, shepherds, it was Christmas Eve, they're probably having a drink or two, dismissing it. So for many people, when they see the light, it means nothing to them. Water off a duck's back. But there'll be those for whom the light is a threat. Just as Christianity is being persecuted in the Middle East today and the Far East as well. So it was 2,000 years ago. Because when those Magi turned up in Jerusalem saying, hey, there's a new leader being born, Herod the king was gutted and afraid. And an afraid ruler is a dangerous ruler. Is it just like today, if someone had gone off to, say, Saddam Hussein and said, there's a new leader being born in Iraq. Or we've gone to President Assad in Syria and said, there's a new leader being born in Syria. What would have happened? Well, we know the answer, chemical weapons. That's what would happen. And 2,000 years ago, Herod didn't have chemical weapons. Didn't need to. He just sent in the army and he slaughters all those children. It's exactly the same. There's nothing new in the Middle East, sadly. Nothing new in human hearts. So for some, the coming of a light wasn't a matter of indifference. It was a matter of anger. It was a matter of belonging to the darkness and turning against the light and wanting to put that light out and to squash that light, to extinguish that light. And the same's true today. Just in the Middle East, there were those persecuting Christians. There were those in our country who would like to see all our churches closed, who are hoping we'll just burn ourselves out and we'll disappear in a generation. Now, none of us know what the future holds. But what I feel God has been saying to me over the last few days is this. We live in an age when the darkness is getting darker. And when the darkness gets darker, that's when the light has to shine brighter. So my brothers and sisters, this Christmas time, can I wish you a fantastic Christmas? I hope you're still having family celebrations or got things to do, you know, New Year parties to go to and all those things. Have a great time. There's a new year ahead of us. And I suspect for Christians and for churches, it's going to be a really tough one. Because in all sorts of ways, we're going to be under pressure. But there'll be those who don't want us to exist. There'll be those who are indifferent, but there'll be others who are negative. And that's why it is so important that the lights we light in candles all around the church, we celebrate at Christmas, that light, that flame must be inside of ourselves. And we have to nurture that flame. We have to let that flame grow. We have to let that flame burn brighter, burn hotter, burn more powerfully. Because all the powers out there want to snuff it out. They want to just ease us out of our discipleship into going for the easy option and just sort of going onto the wayside, not taking our faith, our discipleship seriously. And if we do that, yes, within a generation, the church will die in this country. But if we, however many of us, or however many few we are, doesn't matter, if we hang on to that light, if we caress that light, if we treasure that light, if we hold that light and don't let it go, but let that light take hold of us, then it will be a tough year. But we will know, just as it was with Jesus Christ all those years ago, he was born and almost immediately persecuted, had the Holy Family having to run for their lives. Who knows what's going to happen to us in the year ahead? But can I challenge each one of us? Don't let that Christmas light go out. I don't mean physically, not the candles. I mean inside. Let that flame burn And don't let taking the easy option, let that flame just simply fade and then eventually just sniff itself out. Hold that flame, treasure that flame, and in the year ahead, let it burn brighter. This morning, brothers and sisters, as we approach a new year, can I suggest to you, encourage you, to make that your New Year's resolution. Amen.